Life Christian Centre is a church located in the city of Adelaide. It is made up of people from different backgrounds and walks of life who have been transformed through a relationship with Jesus Christ. For more information, visit us online at www.life-church.com.au.
So good to gather together this morning. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me just to one scripture, John chapter 5. John chapter 5, and reading just one verse, verse 24, the Bible says this: "Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you that your spirit is here, and I pray that you would speak to all of us today by your Holy Spirit. Father, let our ears be open to hear the voice of the Spirit. Father, let there be nothing in me that hinders the delivery of this word. Father, I thank you that the blood of Jesus cleanses me from all unrighteousness. And Father, I pray that our hearts and ears would be open to hear the voice of the Spirit, that in amongst all the words that shall be spoken, I pray, let the gifts of the Spirit, let your Spirit speak to us today, Lord God, because above all else, we want to hear your voice. Bind every spirit of fear and intimidation. Just let there be freedom here today, we pray. And I thank you that you will speak, that lives will be changed because of what happens here today, in Jesus' name. So today's a special day, as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. And we do this also celebrating two of the ordinances, not in this service, we've already had communion, but in the next service we'll have communion, and we'll also be celebrating communion, baptism as well. I want to speak today on the subject, the bridge to life, the bridge to life. Throughout the Bible, we see Jesus described in different ways. He is the rock, he is the living water, he's the bread of life, he's the gate, the door, he is the good shepherd. All of these analogies, metaphors, give us a glimpse of who Jesus was and why he came. He's not a literal rock, he's not a literal gate, but like the elements of a gate, or describe to us who Jesus was and why he came here on earth. And today I want us to see Jesus as the bridge to life. One of the things that we all use every day is bridges. We generally take them for granted, but they actually help us quite a bit. They make our life easier, and they save a lot of time. And so before we get into the message, what I want to do is I want to just prepare you for the quiz night that's coming up in September sometime. And I want to see what your knowledge of bridges is, just to see, you know, whether you know your bridges or not. All right, so here are seven of the world's most famous bridges. So I'm going to put a slide up in just a moment, and then you tell me which bridge it is, and then we'll see if you're right or wrong. So here's the first one. So this one here. Anyone know what bridge this one is? Gee, you're off to a great start, aren't we? It's actually the Brooklyn Bridge in New York. It's a different slide. It's a slightly different slide, so it's a different angle. But failed number one. All right, number two. This is... Anyone know this one? Or at least tell me the country that it's in. It's in Japan. Man, you guys, we got one right. Anybody got that one right? It's the Pearl Bridge, the longest suspended bridge, and it's actually in Japan. You better get the next one right. Okay, let's go with the next one. Here we go. Well done. Yeah, this one's in Rome, so it's pretty, very good. Yeah. So, the next one. This one, the Golden Gate Bridge, well done, in San Francisco. A couple more. This one, next one is, anyone know where this one is? Ponte Vecchio in Florence, not far from where we're planting our church. It's probably about 30, 40 minutes away from where we're starting the church. And if anybody gets the next one wrong, you're in trouble. Ta-da. One of the big famous bridges, Sydney Harbour Bridge, of course, and the most famous bridge. But just before I give it to you, just turn to the person next to you. It's fine. The most famous bridge in all of the world. Just turn to the person. Just see if you can work it out. Come on. The most famous bridge in all of the world. Just quickly. Everybody got it? All right. Let's have a look at which one it is. Here it is. It's right here in Adelaide. You didn't know that, did you? Yes, that's right. It's the Adelaide Bridge. The most famous bridge. You use it every day. You take it for granted, but it helps us. Let me tell you. All bridges essentially function the same way. They span a chasm. People on one side of the river want to visit people on the other side of the river. But without the bridge, they have to cross the river. They have to go through the valley, go around the river somehow, and get to the other side. It can be dangerous. And so the easiest way to get to the other side is just simply build a bridge. A number of our Italian congregation are actually here in this particular service today, and some of them come from a town called, my mum comes from that town, it's a town in Italy called Ponte, which actually means bridge. And in the 60s, when some of them were getting saved and they wanted to go to church, to get to church they had to cross a river there. Strangely enough, there was no bridge, but they had a couple of wires that spanned one side to the other side, and so they would cross this dangerous makeshift bridge to get to the other side and be able to go to church. And I'm not sure we would do the same today. That's for sure. I think we would skip. But today, I don't want to so much speak about physical bridges. What I want to speak about is a spiritual bridge. I want to speak about Jesus, the bridge to life. Notice the text that we read. Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged," because he's crossed over. He's crossed over from death, he's crossed over to life. And Jesus is saying that if we believe in him, we can experience something called life. Crossed over from death to life. Now, the Greek word for life there is the word Zoe. Got a few Greeks in the congregation. It actually means Zoe, which means abundant life. It means experiencing the fullness of life, as opposed to bias, which just means, speaks about, you know, the physical life. Zoe is living as opposed to just existing. It's experiencing the fullness of God's love, of God's joy, of God's power, of God's abilities. Jesus said, "The thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy." The reason why the enemy came, his mission is to kill, steal, and destroy anything that has good. But Jesus has come. "I have come," said Jesus, "that you may have life." There's our word, Zoe. "And life to the full, to abundance." That's what Jesus promises that we can all experience. That we would not just exist and go through the motions of life, but that we would experience life to its full in our lives. Question is, how can we experience Zoe, kind of life that Jesus promises us? Well, that's what I want to speak about today, and I pray that the Spirit will speak to us, and we're going to have a little drawing on there, because people, last time I did it, they said, "You guys, you're an amazing drawer," so we're going to do some more. So if we're going to experience life, we need to first understand what the problem is. We need to first understand what it is that's stopping us from experience the fullness of life that we all crave, that we all want to experience in our lives. Back in the Garden of Eden, God created Adam and Eve, and God gave them authority and dominion. Everything there was perfect. There was no sin. There was no shame. In Genesis, it says, "Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day." Adam and Eve enjoyed an unhindered relationship with God. The Garden of Eden was perfect, and Adam and Eve were enjoying a perfect relationship with God. It's going to represent them as man, and then here we're going to put God. There was an unhindered relationship. Everything was perfect and everything was great. And God said to them, "You're free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you shall surely die." Now, the word "die" in the Bible doesn't mean death, you know, physical death as we know it. The word "death" there actually represents separation from God, eternal separation from God. And the Bible says that the serpent was cunning, and he said to the woman, you know, did God really say you must not eat from the tree of life? So Eve eats of the fruit and disobeys God. And then she says to Adam, well, here's the fruit and have some. And Adam eats of it as well. And at that point, sin entered the world. Sin entered the world. And at that point, a chasm was created between man and God. So man and God were enjoying a great relationship in the Garden of Eden. But then Adam and Eve sinned. And then a chasm was created between man and God. And what separated them was this one thing called sin. God could have programmed, some people ask the question, well, why did God do that? Why did he put a tree in the Garden of Eden and say to them, you can eat of all of the trees, but don't eat this one? You know, how many people have ever been tempted with the sign that says, do not touch wet cement? How many people have ever been tempted? It's wet paint, don't touch it. I always touch it because it's the same here. They could eat of all, they had all of the Garden of Eden, but there's this one tree they were not to eat of, and that's the one they ate. And the question is why? Why would God have put that in there? Well, God has created us with the capacity to choose, and God could so easily have programmed humankind, could have programmed us to say, I love you, but that's not really a relationship at all. The only reason why we know someone really loves us is because they have the capacity to choose not to love us. And so God has given men and women and men the ability to choose not to love them. And he says, here's a tree. Now you choose what you want to do. Do you want to obey me or not obey me? And so Adam and Eve chose to disobey God, and they sinned against God, and sin entered the world. And when sin entered the world, a chasm was built between man and God. A separation was built between man and God. This is what Isaiah says. Isaiah says, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you. Paul said in Romans, and I'm reading from the Passion Translation, it says this, when Adam sinned, the entire world was affected. Sin entered human experience. And death, again, the word death there is separation from God, was the result. And so death followed this sin, casting its shadow over all humanity because all have sinned. So sin created this chasm between us and God. Sin stopped us from enjoying the relationship with God that was being experienced by Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Sin prevented, above all else, us from experiencing the source of life, which is Zoe, which is Christ Jesus, our Lord. So if we're going to experience life, we need to first understand what the problem is, and that the problem is, in essence, sin. What is it that stops us from experiencing the life that God wants us to experience? It's essentially sin, because sin prevents us from having a relationship with God. So secondly, we need to understand that since the fall, man has been seeking, trying to bridge the particular chasm. Since Adam and Eve sinned, the chasm was built, and people have been trying in some way or another to bridge that gap, to bridge that chasm between man and God. And over the years, people have tried to come up with these religious systems to try to span the chasm. Study all the major religions of the world, and you will see they are essentially the same. The construction process to try and span the chasm always begins on the human side. It always begins on this particular side of the equation. People create all these rules and rituals to somehow try and get to God and try to build a relationship with God. They say things like, I need to pray certain prayers, I need to do good deeds, I need to give money, I need to suffer. Some people have this belief that if I'm suffering, then God is impressed, he's happy, and then when he sees me suffering, then he's going to somehow answer my prayers, or he's going to get closer to me in some way. People have come up with all these elaborate schemes to try to appease God, to do things that they think will finally enable them to be able to have a relationship with God, so that the relationship with God could actually be restored in some particular way. Bible actually tells us that no matter what we do, our good deeds are like filthy rags. So some people, you know, they pray because they think, man, if I pray, you know, it's somehow gone. And prayer does go a certain way. Some people think if I do good deeds, man, if I just do enough good deeds, it's going to be enough to get me to the other side. But the Bible says that our good deeds are like filthy rags. In fact, the Bible says we are all infected and impure with sin. When we display our righteous deeds, they're nothing but filthy rags, says Isaiah 64:6. Like autumn leaves, we wither and fall, but our sins sweep us away like the wind. People have even done some weird things. I've talked about this guy before, but he's my favorite of all of the guys that tried to build a bridge from one side to the other. His name was Simon Stylite, who came up with a novel idea. He found a pillar among the Roman ruins, and he climbed that pillar. And for the next 30 or more years, he lived on top of that pillar because he was thinking that God would be really impressed with that. He had a string, and from time to time, people would come past and tie a chicken or something to that string, and he'd bring it up to where he is, and then he'd have some food. But he lived on top of this pole for 30 years, and he wasn't the only one. A lot of people actually, this is a good idea, and so they actually followed suit, and they became known as the Pillar Saints. And the idea was that they would they kind of saw the world as being evil. There's a lot of evil in the world, and so they said, we're going to separate ourselves from all the evil in the world, and we're not going to pursue wealth and pleasure and greed and all the rest of it. We're going to separate ourselves. We're going to live on a pole. And they thought that by doing that, their awareness of God would be developed and their relationship with God would grow. And somehow by separating themselves from all the things in the world, from all the distractions in the world, they would reconnect with God. But no matter how much they did, how long they were up there, it was still not enough. Because no amount of pole sitting could deal with the sin that is inside all of us. The sin that created the chasm between us and God. Some people go on a pilgrimage that retraces the steps of crucifixion. I remember I was in South America one particular time, and in Colombia, and they have this kind of pilgrimage that they do at Easter time, which retraces all the steps of Jesus' crucifixion. And it's, you know, it's quite a long journey. And they were telling me that some people actually did it on their hands and knees, because by doing it on their hands and knees, somehow, you know, God would be really impressed by the fact that they're knees were bleeding and all kinds of things. It'd be on a road, you know, but there'd be kilometers and kilometers of distance that they had to go, and that somehow God would be so impressed that they were doing this, and that God would then love them and save them and heal them or whatever it is they were looking for. The whole idea behind religion is, if we do enough, then it's going to span the chasm between us and God. The whole idea of religion is, if you do certain things, if you do enough of it, then you're going to be able to span the chasm between us and God. And hopefully by the end of our life, hopefully we'll be able to get to the other side. And God will say, after 30 years of pole sitting, He'll be able to say, yeah, come on in. You've sat on that pole for 30 years. You can come in and enjoy heaven with me. Religion is always leaves us empty, because you never know if you've done enough. That's the reality. You never know if you've done enough. No matter how many good works you do, you never know if it's enough to get you in. No matter how much praying you've done, you never know if it can get you in. And no amount of prayer is going to get us into the other side. Some of you might be saying, well, Pastor John, aren't we supposed to pray as Christians? Religion says that if you pray, then God will love you. Christianity is completely different. And it says, because God loves us, we pray. We pray from a position of relationship with God. We read our Bible because God loves us. We don't read our Bible so that God will love us. We don't fast, so if I fast more and more and more, then God is going to love me. No, because God loves us, we fast and we cry out to God and we seek His face. That's the essential difference between religion and Christianity. Religious always leaves us empty. We always live with a sense of guilt, because you think, maybe I should be doing more. And you kind of wonder, have I done enough to be able to bridge the chasm between us and God. Third thing we need to understand is that God has a solution. Right from the beginning, God has had a solution to bridge the chasm between us and Him. Man's ways of bridging the chasm is religion, good works, rituals, rhetoric, but none of that can do that. Paul says to the Ephesians, salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. If the chasm could be built, it could be we could get to the other side through our good works, then why would Jesus have died on a cross? If you read the Bible, you'll see a completely different perspective. God saw the chasm, the gap that separated man and God, and He knew that no amount of human effort, bridge building or sacrifice would get us to the other side. So God took responsibility on Himself and He built a bridge all the way over to the human side. And He was motivated by love in doing this because it's God that created us for a relationship with Him. And maybe you're wondering, well, how did He build that bridge? When did He build that bridge? The truth is, He built the bridge when He sent Jesus Christ, His Son, to earth to die on the cross. Jesus became the bridge that spanned the chasm between God and man. That's what Easter is all about. The Bible says, John 3:16, it's the verse that we all know, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. That again, the word their life is the word Zoe. I want you to think of the cross as the bridge, as the crossbar that spans across the two sides and actually created the bridge. Those of you that have done the Believe course know this, have seen this drawing before. It's God that spanned the chasm. God created a bridge, and through the person of Jesus Christ, that allows us, people like you and me, to connect with God and to know God and to relate to God. Here's some of the scriptures all throughout the New Testament. You see Paul referring to this again and again. Paul said to the Romans, because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because one other person obeyed God, many will be made righteous. Paul said to the Corinthians, he says, for God made Christ who never sinned to be the offering for our sins so that we could be made right with God through Jesus Christ. It was through Jesus that we could be made right. It was Jesus who spanned the chasm that enabled us to continue our relationship with God. All this is from God, says 2 Corinthians 5:18, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. 1 Peter 3:18, Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but He died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but He was raised to life in the Spirit. God, seeing the chasm between us and Himself, He built a bridge in the person of Jesus Christ. He sent Jesus Christ to span the chasm so that our relationship with Him could be restored. Christ came and paid the penalty for our sin. Christ came and took the punishment for our sin so that our relationship with God could be restored. And that's essentially the message of salvation. That's essentially the message of Easter, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And understanding that, we need to make a decision. It's the most important decision that we will ever make in life. Do we keep trying to build the bridge ourselves? Do we keep trying to build this bridge, hoping that somehow it'll get to God? Or do I just walk across the bridge built by God through Jesus Christ? Let me help you here today, because the Bible is really clear. It says that there is no other way that chasm can be spanned. The Bible says, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There are some people who say, well, you know, all of the roads lead to Rome and all the roads don't lead to Rome. I can assure you about that. They go in all different directions and not all religions are the same. Jesus said, I am the way. Jesus never said, I'm one of the ways. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And the interesting thing about that statement, it's very confronting, because you either accept it or you reject it. There's no room for other options. It's either I accept Jesus Christ as our way, as our mediator to God, or I reject the claims of Jesus Christ. Here's the good news for all of us today, that no matter our past, no matter how far we have wandered away from God, how badly we have messed up, we don't have to keep trying to appease God. We don't have to keep trying to build our own bridge. The bridge has already been built in the person of Jesus Christ. We don't have to keep beating ourselves up for not being good enough. All we need to do is make a simple decision to walk across the bridge. And that's the Easter message that we proclaim all over the world. A bridge has been built, and anybody can walk across it. Invitation to you is, to me, is will we walk across the bridge? Will we make a decision? The Bible says this, it says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. First step in our walk with God, in our Christian walk with God, is we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And then we begin to talk to God, we begin to pray. And because we are loved by God, we begin to pray, we begin to seek God. We read the Bible, we get together connect with a good church. And as we grow in our relationship with God, as we deepen our relationship with God, we start to experience this thing called Zoe, called life. Jesus said, very truly, I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Very truly, I tell you, whoever hears these words of mine and believes him who has sent me has eternal life. And they've crossed over from death to life. One of the things that God promises each and every one of us is that we can experience life, abundant life, the fullness of life, the fullness of God's love, the fullness of God's joy. God has promised it to us. The question is, how can we experience that? How can we experience that? Well, first we need to acknowledge that there's a problem of sin, and that sin is inside all of us. Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That means all of us have said things, done things that displease God in some way. And the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. It's eternal separation from God. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. But the gift of God is eternal life. And like any gift, all we need to do is receive it. Separation from God, by the way, in the Bible speaks about hell. That's where hell is. It's separation from God. Some people say, I don't believe in God. I don't want to know God. I don't care about God. And God is going to give to us in eternity whatever it is that we want. And if we want to be separated from God, God says, that's where you're going to go. That's where hell is. It's separation from God. But heaven is a place where we will be with God. And I love the way the Bible says it's a gift. It's a gift. And all we need to do is receive that gift. God built a bridge that separated the chasm through Jesus Christ our Lord. And he offers you and me the gift of salvation. All we need to do is receive it. One of the most dramatic salvations in the Bible is the salvation of the Apostle Paul. He was a religious terrorist. He was far from God. He was a persecutor of the church. He tried to build a bridge in his own strength. In fact, he talks about this in the letter that he wrote to the Philippian church. He says, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. In other words, there were Pharisees and then there was the Apostle Paul. The Pharisees had all of these rules, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of rules that they had to follow. And they thought, man, if we follow these rules, it's going to bridge the chasm. And then our relationship with God is going to be restored. Paul was the Pharisee of Pharisees. He always went the extra mile. He was legalistic. And he did everything he could to try to please God. In fact, he even persecuted the church because he thought that these people were actually not on God's side and so on. So he persecuted the church, ruthlessly came against the church of Jesus Christ. He thought he was pleasing God. But one day, he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. He gave his life to Jesus. He walked across the bridge. And he was never the same again. He said in the Bible, to truly know him meant letting go of everything from my past and throwing off all my boasting on the garbage heap. It's all like a pile of manure to me. I'm reading from the Passion Translation. It's what the original Greek actually calls it. So that I may be enriched in the reality of knowing Jesus Christ. It's all like a pile of manure to me now, so that I may be enriched in the reality of knowing Jesus Christ and embrace him as Lord in all of his greatness. Later on today, we have a group of people that are getting baptized, and they were standing on this side of the chasm, and they made a decision to walk across the bridge. They made a decision to give their life to Jesus Christ. Baptism is really a sealing of the decision that we've made to follow Jesus Christ. Some people might ask, well, Pastor Joe, well, how do I actually walk across this bridge? What do I actually need to do? Religion says you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do the other thing. Well, what do we do to cross that bridge? All you need to do is say yes to Jesus. All you need to do is invite Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. If you were here Friday night, all you need to do is say like the thief, remember me. All you need to do is like say see you if you were here Friday night. It's invite Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. It's to pray a simple prayer, something that says, Lord, I recognize that there is sin in my life. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Be my Lord and Savior. Be my Lord. Be the boss of my life. That's what the Lord is. Be the boss of my life. I want to do my life your way. Be my Savior. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I want to serve you all the days of my life. You know, this congregation here today is filled with people that were standing on this side. We're standing on this side of the equation. Trying in everything they possibly could to try to get to the other side. But one day they heard the gospel. They heard the message of Jesus Christ. And they believed and gave their life to Jesus Christ. And they crossed over. And they were never the same again. There are some of you who are saying, Pastor Joe, you don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. Do you honestly think that God can forgive me? The Bible says this. Listen carefully. It says, where sin abounds, the grace of God abounds all the more. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Where sin abounds, the grace of God abounds all the more. There are no limits to the grace of God. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, not of your own strength. It's a gift from God. Will you stand with me?